quickly locating the correct cube cluster, I burst into the coordinator's office and dropped down onto his horsehair sofa. His eyes moved to meet my own, and then just as casually returned to his pressure screen. I remained silent. After a few minutes passed, he realized that it would be up to him to initiate the conversation. "I'm sure you're aware," he finally said, agitated but monotone in his murmur, "that this sudden reappearance of yours will make certain impending maneuvers more awkward for my department. I'll have to make up another acceptable room for you here in the embassy and reissue your cash and supply requisitions." He wiped his forehead, the pitch of his voice lowering steadily as he continued to speak, resembling nothing so much as the air being let out of a bicycle tire. "I'll also have to find a way to pay for all of this, since you are still officially off of my books. Well, that didn't seem like much of an obstacle to me. I was a diplomat and this was his embassy. I was sure he could come up with something. Run the standard algorithm of embassy lawyers, numerous layers of complex accounting and a few million dollars out of the discretionary fund. Throw in a gaggle of highly trained Georgian prostitutes and no one would ever be wiser." This was, after all, his area of expertise. Why not just write up as a series of business lunches, I thought to myself. But I chose not to say any of that out loud. Instead, I sat motionless, staring, thinking about Iran in 1959, wondering why I'd bothered to haul his perforated ass back home with me. He must have guessed what I was flashing on, because he quickly dropped the pretense of busting my balls and cutting straight to the conclusion of his prepared speech. He hated going through the motions as much as I did. "Okay, I give in," he mouthed, the vitriol now suspiciously absent from his voice. He had put up his token resistance, which for the purposes of budgetary documentation would have to suffice. He tossed my pass and all of the needed cards already made out and validated back into a large manila envelope. He held it out with one hand, not looking away from whatever it was he was scribbling, somewhat erratically, into his leaf. I had never known he was ambidextrous. "Tom," he said to me as I left the room, "let's not botch this up, not like the last time I had to rely on you. You know what I'm talking about." The wisecrack was wholly unnecessary. I halted. I wanted to launch into him, but quickly reversed myself and resolved to just let him have his insults. "Son, at this point, the man is a little more than a torso. His titanium legs are encased in medical plastic, but that hardly represents a cosmetic improvement. Below the elbows, his arms are tracked with skin grafts and must be covered up by shirt sleeves even in summer. True, the substrate now conceals more firepower than I could ever hope to lift with my merely human-gauged limbs, but technically he was correct. During the war, I botched the rescue attempt that had made all of his improvements necessary. After all, he still possessed both of his legs when we were dispatched to Tehran. For this, I do carry some measure of responsibility." Turning again, I looked down at the manila envelope and said nothing. I closed his office door gently on my way out. As I hoofed it down the south corridor, I fished through my envelope of cards, digging out the one that would open my room. It stated, "Room 1097, 10th floor, 2nd hall. I pocketed the room key and made my way toward the central security elevator, arriving just in time to glimpse the doors snapping shut. I located the stairwell. With little effort, I advanced to the 10th floor. Swiping my keycard, I pushed the security door open and proceeded into the hallway. As I reached the door of my actual room, I fished out the card again and shoved it into its slot. The whole door frame quivered as I ambled inside. The place was antique, but I didn't mind the clumsy old mechanisms, in spite of what my diplomatic status might have entitled me to. I wouldn't end up using all of that new equipment anyway. I suppose the room itself was quite impressive by conventional standards. A hot tub was situated or sunk into really the middle floor, the middle of the floor, equipped with its own bar. The carpet was some sort of deep white pile, I don't know, but it looked expensive. Cathedral windows with variable display angles, universal remote. The furniture was a posh mix of vintage and the very latest in network enabled. I waved my hand in front of the couch and the seats around the room reconfigured themselves to my preloaded custom contour. A few more gestures and my temperature, humidity preference were transferred to the local mesh. I have not devoted much of my attention over the years to the ins and outs of fully integrated interior design, but I can tell you that this wasn't the work of amateurs. I wasn't able to locate a single bug. Good for them. There's no telling what kind of footage this room has been able to capture during the periods between wars, when it has been used to house foreign dignitaries. I'm afraid my reputation preceded me here, and I did not expect many frivolous trifles. But still, a few of the line items for my standard rider were missing, and remain missing above my complaints, which continues to annoy. Well, that's about all I have time for right now. I have quite a bit of work to do before I can turn in for the night. You know, I'm not much of a writer, but I hope this has given you some idea of what an average day of mine is like here at the embassy. Hope to see you soon.